Hey, Coach. Leo Rivera with Scobo Sports. You were recently awarded the Frank Cush Award. What could you say about that and your involvement within ASU and your relationship at that school?
Yeah, obviously me being born and raised in Arizona, that's something I don't take lightly. You know, Frank Cush is the best coach to ever coach there. And he was somebody that I think everybody who was in the coaching industry looked up to in some way, shape, or form, especially if you're in Arizona and grew up an Arizona State fan.
Okay, we'll go to the center right.
Tyler Budge, CF Budge. Coach, when I spoke to you last year at Big 12 Media Days, you talked about how for a program looking to turn things around, learning how to win is a key aspect of that. At what point last year do you feel like something clicked where you guys learned how to win, and how do you hope that carries over for this season?
Yeah, I think, I go back to a game where we struggled in the first half, and then in the second half, we took the lead with a big touchdown. They came back with about 3 minutes and 45 seconds left. They scored. Then our quarterback goes in the huddle, freshman quarterback goes in the huddle and says, "We're about to march down and score again." And Sam throws it to JT, touchdown. And it was a game where JT overcame adversity versus Kansas, and Sam showed that he can do it in the biggest moments. And I think that was one of the times that I said, okay, our offense can win games for us at the end. And then there were times on defense where at the end of the first half versus UCF, even though it wasn't the end of the game, we had a big-time pick six at the end of that first half. So I think throughout the season, all the phases affected winning, and it became contagious. But the fun thing is, last year has nothing to do with this year. When you're in college football, when you're in sports, you may as well throw the book out and you start from scratch. Everybody starts with the same record. Just some people get looked at more, and people play harder verse. So it's actually harder to sustain success in sports than other things.
We'll go center left, floor for all.
Hi, Kenny. Devil's Digest. Take us back to that first meeting you had in January and the team came from winter break. What was the main message you were trying to implore on them, and how do you feel they exemplified that message in spring practice and also off the field?
That it's over. You had your time to celebrate. You had your time where people are going to tell you how good you are. I showed all the things on the screen of all the tweets of you're really good and you're really good and what a year and everybody loves us. And then I said, okay, is everybody good? Is everybody red enough, positive? Can we get to reality? And the reality is we're 0-0. The reality is there's been a lot of teams in college football who have done what we've done, who have won 1 year and then come back to reality. We really didn't do anything special. We did something that's actually normal. We were just the team that accomplished that normal that year. What would be special would be to continue to build off of that. And that was the real challenge, was how do we not become what normal teams in our situation do, which is fall back to where we've always been.
The front row.
Hey, Coach. Nick Hamilton, Nightcast Media. I wanted to ask you about Jordan and just what his development has been this offseason as he prepares for the upcoming season, and what have you seen change in him mentally as well as physically to prepare?
Yeah, mentally, I think Hines Ward coming in last year, I think JT has really taken what Coach Ward has said in terms of preparation and what it takes to be successful at the next level, and he's really embodied that. You know, he showed up, and now he's a guy who's early, a guy who's always getting treatment, a guy who doesn't leave the building, a guy who's always up watching extra tape. His preparation to be great is something that I'm super proud of. And because of that, he's gained over 10 pounds, and he's a mile and a half faster than he was this time last year because he's preparing like a pro. And there's not anybody else better to show you what that looks like than a guy like Hines Ward at that position, a guy who embodies work ethic, a guy who embodies being successful over a long period of time. So I think he's really just leaned into what Coach Ward has said. He's bought into it, and he's gone all in.
We'll go to center left, forefront.
Hey, Kenny. Scott Bordeaux, ASU News. Have you had a conversation with Sam about how to handle the attention that's coming his way? And second part of that question, how do you think he will handle that?
Yeah, we've had a conversation. I said, don't worry. Everybody else will tell you you're good. I'm going to tell you you suck, right? So we can, you know, be transparent there. I'll be the one to humble you. But no, in all fairness, like, Sam has such big dreams and goals for himself that anything he reads about isn't probably as big as the goals and dreams he has for himself. And I think that's what drives him, is he wants to be the best. So it doesn't matter what somebody writes, doesn't matter what somebody says. you're probably not dreaming as big as he is dreaming. And even though some people may hear him say things and you're like, oh, well, that's cocky, that's arrogant, or that dream isn't real, don't you want somebody to achieve the very best version of what they believe they can do? And if you don't believe you can do something, you're never going to do it. And I think Sam embodies that. His confidence is not cockiness because he works and he prepares and he loves it. So I love the fact that he's confident, and I think it's only going to fuel him to be the best version of himself.
We'll go to center right in the back.
Hi, Coach. David Howman with Devils in Detail. On that same vein with Sam Levitt being such a high-profile player, coming into this season being mentioned for Heisman consideration, how much do you embrace that side of things and kind of promote his Heisman candidacy while also not risking him reading too much of his own press clippings?
Yeah, I think, I know Sam, and I know that the press clippings aren't going to be relevant to what he wants to accomplish. So it's definitely somebody that we can get behind in making that push. And at the end of the day, we have a lot of guys on our football team that can win these individual awards. The only way you win an individual award is through team success. That's why football is so great. It's the ultimate definition of you pour into other people, and those other people lift you higher than you could ever do by yourself. And I think that's the message to our football team this year, is if people want individual success, if people want to reap individual benefits, then our team has to be the best version that we can be, because that's how you actually get those individual accolades in football, is through team success.
We're going to go fourth row.
Hey, Kenny, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I'm Jared Ramirez from RedditorSports.com. You tweeted back in May that you 100% agreed Texas Tech had the talent to win the Big 12. I'm just curious for your thoughts on their team and playing those guys at your place this year.
Yeah, they beat our butt last year, and they added a lot of really good players to their football team. I mean, a ton of really good players. I mean, they probably had the best portal haul of any team in college football, already on a good football team with a good football coach in a fun environment to play at. So, I mean, people read into things I do. I just tell people the truth. So I saw a tweet I liked, and I'm like, yeah, they're right. They do have the talent to win the league. And I think anybody who says they don't have the talent to win the league is absolutely delusional. I bet if you ask Coach McGuire, his expectation is to win the league. And they've built a team to win the league, not to compete, to win it. So it's a great challenge. We get to host them at home this year, and they're a phenomenal football team, and they've added a lot of phenomenal pieces.
For the center right.
Steven Johnson, Fort Worth Star-Telegram. When Brian Carrington was here on staff at TCU, he obviously did great things recruiting, but he was always adamant he wanted to be an on-the-field coach. I'm curious, what did you see slash know about him that made you want to give him that opportunity? And what type of impact has he made on the program since he joined you guys?
Yeah, he's smart. I think football is actually easy to coach. The hard part is the dynamics of the people, is being able to manage your room. You know, I could teach anybody how to coach, how to teach a thirds backpedal and how to middle and how to make a drive call. Those are simple things. What's difficult is understanding, leading, motivating people. That's the challenge. That's the job of a coach, is to get a player who gives effort at an 8 and get him to a 9.5. It's not to teach him all these schematics. The schematics are great. There's a minimum standard of what you have to know, and most people know them in the coaching industry. The great guys understand people, and he was a guy who always understood people. So I said, well, let's help him learn the game of football at a higher level, because I already know he can motivate, he can engage, and he can teach, and he can communicate. So let's help him on the side that I think is easier, which is football. Easier to teach somebody football than people skills.
Center left in the back.
Alyssa Cooper, also with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. So the Big 12 has grown and changed over the past couple of years. And I was just wondering, how does that impact the way that you recruit players in terms of the expansion and the level of competition that they'll be playing?
Yeah, I don't know if it affects how we recruit players. You know, we had a strategy when I got the job here. To really recruit California, recruit Texas, recruit the state of Arizona, and then recruit a few other areas. But that was our strategy from the beginning. You know, I like to say Arizona is if California and Texas like mixed together, you kind of get Arizona that's just in the middle there. So if you're a Texas kid that wants to go out west, well,
but you're not sold on living all the way out west, well, Arizona's the perfect spot. If you're a California kid who wants to go to the south, but you don't want to go all the way to the south, well, just come on over to Arizona. We're kind of that perfect in the middle grass. So that was our strategy in recruiting. They both happen to be, you know, two of the top four, wherever you want to put them, states to produce NFL players. So I think we sit regionally right in a really good spot for both those schools. And us transitioning to the Big 12, we play more games in Texas. We're at Big 12 Media Days right now. We have three different kids' families, moms, dads, cousins, uncles here with them for Big 12 Media Days. So I think it's pretty cool to be able to come back to their state and really represent.
Again, if you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll go to the center right.
Hi, Coach. Cody Nesper, Golden Blue Nation. Do you feel that the preseason poll hurt you last year? And what do you think about getting rid of it?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to like this answer. I could care less, and I'd have no clue. I'm not a voter, and I don't really care where people put us. Vote us first, vote us last, vote us in the middle. If we're so focused on other people's expectations of us, then you're going to limit yourself. Who knows? Are we supposed to win six games? Are we supposed to win nine games? Are we supposed to go undefeated? Are we supposed to win zero? Who really knows? All I know is when we show up to work, we should be the very best version of ourselves. And if we compete in something, you better compete to win. And you better compete to be the very best version of yourself every day, over and over again, and you block out the noise.
The third row, center left.
Kevin Turner, Sun Devil Radio Network. Kenny,
former player.
100 years ago with leather helmets. Real quick question. I know you're a big self-scout guy. After the three-win season, you acquiesced. You turned over the offensive play calling to Marcus Arroyo. What is next for Kenny Dillingham from a self-scout? What do you need to improve upon for the 2025 season?
Special teams is something we need to improve upon. You know, I want to be more aggressive. You know, we called a few fakes last year. They were successful. I think transitioning from an offensive coordinator role that coaches quarterbacks, you're never really involved in special teams because during special teams periods, you're an individual with the quarterback. So one piece of my coaching, I would say, you know, knowledge, I was lacking in that area because I never actually worked in that space because I was always coaching quarterbacks and individual. So I think giving up play calling, getting into that world of special teams, I feel like I can help a lot more like I do on offense and defense. I can be way more involved in the special teams phase like I was at the end of last year. And one thing that I think is there for the taking is more fakes. I mean, I don't care if our opponents know it. Like, more fakes, the success rate of fakes are so high that more fakes need to be called on the punt team, on field goal. And I only think it helps your special teams as a whole. You just got to be prepared that when it doesn't work and you guys tell us how bad of a decision that was, you got to be okay to be like, yeah, that was dumb. Right? Even if it wasn't, you got to be willing to accept it and take the blame for when it doesn't work.
We'll go to center left.
Coach, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, having Cam Scataboo last year was a great luxury. Now you got a whole different running back room. Just talk about the running backs that are here now taking over for Cam.
Yeah, obviously we get Sip back. He's bigger, stronger, faster than he was last year. He looks very good in spring ball. I was very pleased. Relique Brown's a guy who showed up last year who had to medically redshirt because of a hamstring. He's back to full strength. He's also gained 20 pounds. He's about 200 pounds now. Showed up in our program at 175. So I'm very excited for what he can do this last year or this next year leading up. And then you got Udo, who obviously transferred in, who's transitioning to the spread offense or the pro-style spread from the triple option. So there is a learning phase there, but he grew and grew and grew throughout spring. So I think they all have a different skill set that they can provide to mitigate what we're losing in scat, because not one person can replace scat. His play style was so unique that you have to have multiple people replace him.